All right, welcome back. This is the week you missed. We got a short week. Why? Because it's a holiday week. It is November 22nd. Pretty cool for numbers. 1-1-2-2-2022. I don't know. There's something there. But it's Thanksgiving. So what are we thankful for? I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that, one, I don't really care too much about sports anymore these days. I kind of haven't for the last 4 or 5 years or so. But I'm also thankful that I don't think that I spew all this stuff online that I'm a social justice warrior, because although I'm not watching the World Cup, I feel like it would be very hypocritical if I were. And I'm super confused at all these people. I have like a few distinct people in mind, but I feel like it's a lot of people who for the last year, 2 years, 4 years have been saying we need $15 minimum wage and we need more women's rights. And a big one recently in the election, we need abortion rights and reproductive rights. And I don't disagree with all of that at all. But what I don't understand is, how are you so gung-ho on reproductive rights, on workers' rights, on gay rights, on trans rights, and then you support this World Cup that literally doesn't support gays, doesn't support trans people, doesn't support workers? They had 7,000 slaves who died building these stadiums. They have corruption. They have fraud. They have scams. They have thing after thing after thing that is not good. But somehow, and I'm mostly looking at these social justice warriors, they're okay going to the bars right now and supporting and watching and saying, oh, no, I'm just rooting on the USA. It's just my soccer team. That's all it is. Well, how about, why can't you have that same thought process when people are just supporting their business that only pays minimum wage, or because they say that that's all that they can afford? Or they're supporting Texas. A lot of people said, we're not supporting any business in Texas anymore because of their, like, don't say gay bill or whatever similar bill it was. A lot of people said they're not going to travel to Florida anymore because of their don't say gay bill. Those, like, I don't really like thinking about borders at all, but Florida is closer in geography than Qatar. Why do we say we're not going to support Florida because of something we don't agree with, but we are going to support these people we don't really have as much relation with? What do you think about that? Am I wrong for having these thoughts? Are people supposed to enjoy themselves every once in a while and we have to just look past all of the fraud and scams and inhumane practices being done? Or what's the best way to go about this?
No, it's just so silly too, because I feel like there are legitimately people, like you're saying, that are going to be more upset about the Florida don't say gay bill and like the anti-trans stuff they're doing in Texas. They're going to be more upset about those two states in America where people are much freer than people in Qatar. And basically just the whole comment on Qatar would be like, well, you know, it's a different culture. They have their thing. Like, I don't agree with it, but still going to watch the World Cup, still going to do it. Like, it's been absolutely hilarious. Like, apparently there was some guy I saw on Twitter today. He was wearing like a shirt that had a soccer ball with like rainbow rings around it, and he wasn't allowed to enter the stadium. And the guy tweeted a picture of himself, and it's like, yeah, bro, do you know where the fuck you are?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, when I went to Dubai, I've been in the Middle East once. I was in Dubai for
pause you real quick though. His activism or his like fighting for what's right, I believe, would have gone farther by not going to Qatar or Qatar, however you pronounce it. Instead, he's like, no, I'm going to go and I'm going to wear a rainbow. It's like, no, that's actually probably being mean to their culture. Instead, show them with your dollars, hey, we're not going to support your World Cup because you're so against gays. But for some reason, people think, no, I'm still going to throw them a bunch of money. I'm just going to complain when they don't allow my rainbow in. I don't know. That seems distorted, but go on about UAE. You were there.
But no, it's just like these countries are different. They're vastly, vastly different than what people in the West are used to. And it's just hilarious because it's like it's just so funny because it's just like you said, it's like they're probably like proudly LGBTQ supportive bars in Philly and North Carolina and New York City and everywhere that are going to be showing the World Cup nonstop. And they're going to be promoting it and talking about it. And it's just one of these things. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And like the fact that, you know, my favorite thing, this is something I'm thankful for, but Qatar played the best prank on all these idiot soccer fans by being like, yeah, you'll totally be able to get beer in the stadium. Definitely. Definitely will be able to get booze. And then like 2 days before, they're like, yoink, only available if you're in the corporate suites paying like $20,000 a ticket. And it's
they
just
did
like
the same thing. They did a very similar thing with the armbands. They told teams, hey, you can support gay people with your One Love armbands. The captains can wear those and we'll just give you a little fine. And teams are like, all right, we'll pay the fine. It'll be a nice little act to show we're supportive. And then a day before, they said, actually, if you do that, we're going to give you like a red card and a fine and this, that. And they like kind of upped the ante. So all the players said, actually, we can't afford that. Like, that's going to risk our team and whatever. So all the teams aren't wearing the one banned arms anymore. So alcohol got pulled a day before. After Budweiser gave a bunch of sponsorship money, the one arm bands got pulled a day before after they were promised that they're going to. So it's like it's thing after thing after thing that just shows they don't give a fuck about what we think or what we care or anything.
Yeah, I know it's not completely related, and I'm sure that you've seen these people and it must absolutely blow your mind, but it's the same thing when you see at these like pro-Palestinian protests where you see it's like the LGBTQIA student union of NYU stands in support with Palestine. It's like if any of you stepped foot in Gaza, you would be murdered.
Exactly. That's what I don't understand. And then that's when they're like, yeah, they're welcome to their own like culture and beliefs. And you're like, what is, like, I don't understand the gymnastics that's needed to like believe both of those statements. It's
well, look, you know, I've heard that like Iran and Qatar and these other places, like they take very good care of their LGBTQ populations. They provide meals for them. They support them. They give them a safe place to stay while they're waiting to execute them for being gay.
I know where he's going with this.
They take really good care of them before they throw them off the roof of a building.
it makes no sense to me. It's so backward. And people, when you bring it up to them, they get upset at you and they get very defensive. And no one's willing, it seems, to take the time to step back and be like, hey, is this actually wrong? And everyone has an excuse and says, yeah, but I love soccer. Yeah, but if I stop watching, what's going to happen? Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Or yeah, but America is corrupt too. Like, what, should we not support America? And it's like, yeah, those are all great excuses. But why are you complaining about all these other things if the people who are doing those things have the same exact excuses? But what am I supposed to do? But it's something I believe in. But it's my fun. All of that. Yeah. It's mind-blowing to me. It doesn't make sense. I'm boycotting this World Cup. I'm not watching it at all. I've told people I'm kind of judging. If you're I hate to say it, I'm mostly judging the left. If you're on the far left and you've been saying, we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that for the last 4 years, and you're supporting this World Cup, I don't really give your voice any attention anymore.
You're a hypocrite.
You're a hypocrite. And it's like people on the right, at the very least, they say, hey, if you're over there, you're allowed to do what you want. Why should I say what you're doing over there? And I kind of am with them on that. Then I don't really want to watch the World Cup. My last little thing about this, but if the U.S. makes it to the next round, I'll probably start getting a little interested in wanting to watch. My thing to make me feel okay about watching it is saying, okay, every time I watch, I'm going to donate $100, $200 towards a cause that Qatar is against. So say, hey, if I donate towards gay rights or if I donate towards abortion rights or whatever, at least I feel like I'm counteracting supporting such a negative regime. I don't know.
You're gonna pay your reparations for breaking your principles.
Hey, that's what everyone does, right? So carbon credits, it's how you feel a little bit better about doing something bad.
You know, pay your penance. But yeah. And yeah, it's just like, I always love to do this thought exercise. Like, well, it's one thing is funny. It's like the most, like, if you asked, if you told like 100, you know, LGBTQ people in America, it's like, okay, you got to leave. You have to move to a country in the Middle East. What country do you want to move to? You lay out all the laws, you show them all the rules. 99 out of 100 of them are going to choose Israel because that's like the only country that is tolerant of their lifestyle. And then the one person who's like, I'm going to choose to live in Saudi Arabia, and it's going to work out really, really poorly for them. Like, and it's just like, it's just so wild. These people just, it's absolutely crazy. And like, you could take, I'm sure if you found a closeted gay teen in Qatar right now and were like, okay, well, you can live here, or you can snap your fingers and you can either live in Florida or Texas for the rest of your life. But let me explain how oppressive and terrible they are. And the guy would already be being like, give me my ticket. Like, I'm out of here. Like, I will take Texas. I will take Florida in the drop of a hat compared to staying here.
Exactly. And for some reason, people are don't want to believe that, or like are unwilling to hear that. I don't get it, but you can, and the thing is, you can complain about places without saying that they're like, that they're horrible and that they're the enemy. It's like, yo, say Florida has things that you want improved, but it's not Nazi Germany. It's not Saudi Arabia. It's just not. It's not the same.
Yeah. I mean, shit. It's absolutely crazy. And these people just like, it's driving me, it just makes me laugh, because at this point, like, they're just so absurd that it's it just always makes me laugh. And yeah, of course,
one little thing, I'm curious if you knew this. Do you know what the population of Qatar is actually Qatari?
Well, probably 20%, and the rest is like slave labor.
Yeah, exactly. I don't mean to laugh at that, but 10% is Qatari. Like that's kind of just crazy to think right there. Like, people don't think that's messed up, whatever. But do you have anything for us this week?
Yeah, you know, I just want to be, I want to say that I'm thankful for Kyrie Irving. because his crazy wacky ass, I think, has done more to expose the Black Hebrew Israelites as the insane cult that they actually are. Did you see the video of them like marching around the stadium and chanting?
I did. And I don't understand. This is another thing that just literally doesn't make sense in my head. As much as I try and understand it a little bit, it's just so confusing. They call themselves United for Israel. That's like what a lot of their handles say and hashtags say. But if you go to their website, it's United in Israel for Christ. Jews don't worship Christ. Like, how do you say you're Jewish but worship Christ? Like, it's backwards. It's not the same thing. You can say you guys believe the Old Testament, but you also believe the New Testament, and you guys think Jesus is a god. That's not Jewish. It makes you Christian, yeah. Judaism doesn't believe in Christ is a God. So it's mind-blowing. It doesn't make sense to me that they're like, no, we're the real Jews. We're the real Jews. But they worship Christ. It's like, no, that means you're not Jewish. What the hell are you doing?
But I just feel like, you know, living in Philly, I grew up near New York, and you would see these people in New York when you would go into New York. And like, I feel like it is something that not a lot of people knew about. But this whole Kyrie Irving thing has really, I feel like, has escalated their scene. And now people are like, wait, who the hell are these people? And like, what do they believe? And it's like, it's just so great. And it's like, oh yeah, no, it's these dudes who say they're Israelite, but are also virulently anti-white, anti-Jewish person, like incredibly anti-Semitic, and there's a lot of them, apparently.
But, and they're getting, in my opinion, it seems like they're getting more support than before.
Yeah, no, I think they are. And I think that, like, I sort of, like, you know, the idea of like an accelerationist, like the idea that you support things that are going to lead to a conflict because the conflict is what is necessary. It's like a lot of people that there was this whole thing when Donald Trump first got elected that people were voting for him because they thought that Trump being president would lead to like the explosion of American politics, which it has, like, in no uncertain terms. But I've got a dusting of that in me, and I'm happy that this group is getting more press and is becoming more well-known, because I don't think that you're ever going to see the downfall of a hate group like the Hebrew Israelites if people don't know that they exist and if people don't understand how wacky they are. Like, now I think when more people, when kids are walking with their parents and they see them screaming outside of City Hall in Philadelphia, there's more likely of a chance that a parent, when a kid asks, what are they, when they get home, or what were they doing? They're going to be like, well, that's a hate group, and they hate Jewish people, and they really dislike white people, and they only support people like themselves, and what they believe is wrong. And I think that's good, because I think more people now are being forced to actually understand what these people believe. And look, they're allowed to have whatever wacky views they want. I'm fine with it. Like, this is America. If you want to have your crazy shit going on over there, if you want to be a Klan member, I hate you. I think you're disgusting, but like, you're allowed to be. If you want to be a Black Hebrew Israelite, I disagree with you. I think you're gross, but do your thing. And you know what? I like the fact that you're promoting yourself publicly, so that if I ever came across you or saw a business you ran, I go, oh, I'm not going to go to your business because I know you're wacky. It's the same thing where, like, if there was some guy who was a neo-Nazi and, like, I went to a pizza shop and he's got a swastika armband on, I'd be like, oh, great. I'm not going to buy pizza here because you're a Nazi, and then move on. Like, it's nice.
No, you're completely right. And in relation to that, I did, if you didn't see, Twitter has Kanye West back. He came back like yesterday, 2 days ago, and one of his first tweets was Shalom.
Boom!
And it's interesting because at first I was like, I'm not against Kanye being back because, like, I do want people to have free speech and choice and be like, let's just know that Kanye is an idiot, but let him talk in the corner and scream whatever. But at first I was like, all right, this sucks. I hope there's not so many people who, like, support this and say, like, Kanye for president or whatever. But then Israel, the country, responded and said, like, we don't wish to be part of this conversation. Like, please, please exclude us. And then Elon Musk chimed in and he goes, that was really funny. He was like, that was a great response, Israel. More countries should do like you. And then I actually follow a few influencers, like, in the tech, mostly in the tech industry from Israel. One guy who, like, I love his content, and he's got really good stuff, and he's very influential in Israel. Like, if you're a big tech company in Israel, you've probably talked to this guy. And he retweeted or reposted this exchange, and he was like, you know what? Maybe Elon isn't so bad. Like, he's giving us a little bit of a voice, and he's not saying anything overtly mean. He's just giving people a voice. And it's like, it wasn't the worst thing that Kanye said Shalom, and it wasn't the worst thing, like, that Israel got to reply. And it basically, in relation to what you said, I do agree, like, it's bringing conversation, and conversation is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Last little point that it reminds me of, and then I'll go back to you, is, it reminds me of someone else who actually probably doesn't have the best publicity of the last couple of years, but the guy who wrote Sapiens, he has something in one of his first books, Yuval Harari. Sapiens is one of my I love the book Sapiens a lot, although there's some things in it that people say is actually a little controversial, maybe doesn't have as much evidence as he presented. But what he does say at one point that definitely resonated with me, and I remembered it, obviously, was the fact that that United States and Russia, this is before the current conflict, it's a few years ago, the fact that we talk to each other and we say we hate you is a good thing. Because if we didn't talk to each other, it would mean that's not a good thing, and there's a lot more chance of something bad happening. So it's like, as bad as it is, like, we're saying sanctions to you and we don't like you, the fact that China and the president of China and Biden met like a week or two ago, as things have definitely been getting more and more tense, is actually a good thing. The fact that we can still talk is good. So again, to what you said, just to summarize, the fact that Israel and Kyrie, or people can actually have this conversation about Kanye and Kyrie and Israel And Israel maybe being in the media, whatever, it's a good thing that we're discussing it and we're not just ignoring it, because that's when things can go under and get worse.
Yeah, no, and I think you raise a really good point, because I feel like this idea that if there's conflict between two sides that hate each other, isolating one from the other, or isolating one group, is not going to do anything to fix this problem. And I think a really good historical example of this is during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Part of the reason why it escalated to such a crazy level was because there were no clear lines of communication between the US and the USSR. It ended up being resolved through diplomatic back channels. I don't know if the details of like who was talking to who has ever been revealed, but it was basically like senior officials in the US and the USSR who had the ability to communicate is what averted that crisis and potentially saved us from nuclear war. And after that happened, instead of saying, well, the Soviets are crazy and they almost got us into nuclear war, instead of the Soviets saying, well, the Americans are nuts and they almost got us to nuclear war, they installed what is now a ubiquitous symbol, the red phone, the hotline that was a direct line between the US and the USSR that you would pick up, and it would instantaneously connect the two sides on a Cold War that both sides were literally funneling millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of bodies into war, proxy wars, fighting each other to basically strive for global dominance of their ideology. Instead of saying, no, we were going to isolate you, no, we're going to be, you know, shut off from you because we think you're evil, they said, no, we need to be able to talk to each other.
Yep, exactly.
And that was what helped lead the communication and the openness between the two is what helped lead to the lowering of tensions and the lowering of conflict. Like, I don't understand, like, show me a time in history where basically forcing an outsider group or something, you know, and isolating them and putting them in a corner and trying to deprive them of oxygen has ever really led to an outcome where they lose. Like, they might lose a little bit of power, but they're not going to go away. So I think it's good that is one thing I am thankful for, is Elon Musk's buying Twitter, because the reactions of people have been crazy to watch. Other thing too, it's so funny because you see all these people that are like, I'm a comic, like they write editorials about like geopolitics, and all of a sudden they're like, well, Elon Musk is obviously going to destroy Twitter. And then you've got all these like business journalists who are like, you know, like this looks chaotic, but he's actually following some pretty tried and true managerial tactics and strategies. And this is actually really common during mergers and acquisitions. And then all these idiots are responding to them being like, what are you talking about? How can you put, like, I literally got into a beef with someone on Twitter, and the guy's like, Twitter doesn't have a payroll department anymore. Like, they're done. And I'm like, payroll is probably one of the easiest things to outsource to a third party company. And he's like, so you're saying it's good that Twitter's payroll department just walked off? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, honestly, like, if it ends up saving them money because it costs them less to contract out than it costs to support their payroll department, yes. And he's like, well, it happened so quickly. I'm like, look, man, when Twitter misses a check, let me know. Here's my assumption. They probably won't. And they're probably paying less money to issue their payroll now. So from a business standpoint, it's a win. You just don't have, like, you don't need an internal payroll department. You don't need an internal HR department. Like, there is an entire ecosystem of businesses that have popped up to support businesses of all sizes with these functions. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just so crazy to watch and everyone thinking, like, so I don't know. It'll be funny. What do you think? You think Elon pulls it off with Twitter? You think he's going to get something?
I kind of do. I honestly think it might take some time, but like in 3 years, 4 years, people are going to be like, oh shit, Twitter's pretty relevant. I think he's tackling things that make a lot of sense, that I think if you're not in, like, I'm very interested in tech. I follow a lot of tech. I follow just innovation a lot. The fact that he's trying to get into payments, something that Facebook really hasn't gotten into at all, Instagram hasn't gotten into and is struggling, that's huge. The fact that he's already getting into paying content creators, that's huge. That's going to get people into Twitter. The fact that he's getting into video and he's trying to get more video onto Twitter and tackling YouTube and Twitch, that's huge. like there's a few things that, hey, if one of those three things hit, Twitter becomes probably more valuable than what he bought it for. And then it's a matter of time before he just keeps increasing and innovating. YouTube kind of has innovated the last 10 years, but not really. Facebook hasn't really innovated much the last 10 years. They're all in on the metaverse now. But Facebook as a social media, not too innovative. Like TikTok is very innovative. And in 3 years, they've completely slaughtered market share. So it's definitely possible.
Well, and I think the biggest opportunity for Elon, and I'm not going to take credit for this idea. I listened to a podcast called Breaking Points, and one of the co-hosts is called Sagar and Jetty. And he has been saying, even before Musk finalized the deal, he goes, look, Twitter has a real business opportunity. If they create an enterprise level service for corporations and build out features that help them manage Twitter as like a customer service and or a sales pipeline. Because you see it all the time. You hear all these stories about like, I was on the phone with United Airlines for an hour and a half and got no help. And then I tweeted at Twitter at their Twitter account and they like instantly solved the problem. And obviously the people that use Twitter as this customer service channel typically have higher levels of followers. Mm-hmm. But this idea is saying, look, we can build you a platform. We can build you tools and features that allow you to more easily use this channel to create, you know, real-time frontline customer service management, and also as like a reputation management tool of saying that we're going to make sure this stuff quickly. And like, that is a value. And like, the thing is, like, to me, as soon as he said it, I was like, that seems like low-hanging fruit. Like, you have all these massive corporate accounts with millions of followers and having interactions about their services, and no one at Twitter ever thought, hey, is there some way that we can tell these corporations, like, hey, continue to use our platform for free, but for, you know, here's a sliding scale of based on how many followers you have, this is your monthly fee, and you get this whole suite of tools to better manage this and really turn this into a place where you can interact with your customers, solve their problems in a way that's also public. Because I think that's a big thing, is you always see all these stories about where it's like, oh, someone tweeted at the, you know, this company's account, and they made it right, and they did this nice thing, and then the response goes viral and it creates all this free press for the companies. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such an obvious thing to do. And I know, and I have heard that they're apparently working on some sort of like Twitter Blue Enterprise. So something that will be targeted at major corporations. And I think that could potentially be a big win.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. There's plenty of possibilities.
Well, it's just so funny because like amongst my group of friends, look, we met when we went to business school, and like I'm talking to people that also have MBAs, and they're just like, Elon is destroying Twitter. I'm like, guys, can you not, like, look, might he destroy Twitter? Sure. But we know that in the first probably 6 to 12 months, no one's going to know what's going to happen with Twitter. Like, it's not like, it's not going to flame out in a quarter. Like, exactly. This is going to take some time either way. And the fact that you don't understand, after having gone through all the strategic management classes and HR classes and understanding mergers and acquisitions, and like the fact that you're looking at this and being like, well, he's obviously an idiot. Like, did you not pay attention at all? Like, this is like everything he's doing, he's just doing it much more publicly than what many companies do, which is why we're getting a front row seat, which is awesome. It's so cool.
That's the main difference, actually, exactly what you just said, between what he's doing now and what he did at Tesla and what he did, I think, at SpaceX too. He took over Tesla. He's considered a co-founder, but it was established before he actually got involved. And he did exactly what he's doing now. He made a lot of people leave. He said, hey, we're about to turn it on, get ready to work hard. And then he turned it, and he put a lot of money into it. He probably invested more than people would have said was smart, but he said, no, we're going to make this valuable. And then he ended up doing it. So that's kind of what makes me think he definitely has the potential to do it with Twitter as well.
And that's what's just such like bullshit too. People are like, well, you know, it's not the electric car industry just isn't Tesla. And it's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Now, basically every major car company is going all in on EVs, but it's like, Tesla's the company that made it cool, that really brought it to the mainstream. Like there were electric vehicles before Tesla. They never caught fire. Yeah. Like Elon, the Tesla as a company is what elevated EVs from a very niche product into something that was much, much, much more mainstream and in demand. Now, might that have happened without Musk and without Tesla? Sure, probably.
Probably, but probably not.
Well, it would have eventually happened, like, I'm sure, but it's like, would we be where we are right now if not for Tesla? I doubt it. I highly, highly doubt it.
No.
And it's just, it's like, look, I can give credit to people I disagree with. Like, there are people that I know I disagree with their politics, I disagree with their views and what they say, but I can respect their skills and understand that they're a skilled business person, or that they that they're very a skilled politician. So it's just so weird that, you know, do people have this inability to like consider that someone they disagree with might actually know what they're doing?
Well, but, time will tell. We could be wrong too. I'm excited to see it. That's for sure.
We'll see. We'll see. I think a year from now, I bet Twitter has more user interactions than it ever has before. I bet it has more daily active users. I bet it has less bots, and I bet it's better than it is. That would be my prediction.
I probably agree with that. I've been on Twitter more the last week, and it's definitely been pretty enjoyable. That's for sure.
It's been so funny. It's been wild. Yeah.
Well, that'll be my closing statement then. I'm thankful that Twitter is fun. It's probably been my number one social media the last week. We'll see if it continues. Have a good week, everyone. I'm thankful for you guys all. And see you later.
Later.